Hi, folks. Before we get started, we'd like to take a moment to let you know some of the content on this podcast may not be suitable for some audiences. It's all in good fun, but we just wanted to let you know. So enjoy, have a great time, and on with the show.
All right, everybody, let's give it up for Gene Dan. That's right, it's tube top time. So take them off and hit it, Dan.
Come here, Daddy.
Yes, sir.
Oh, delicious.
You're so good.
Oh, hey, yes, sir.
Jay and Dan are going to bust it out. Sexy Mike can make you scream and shout. Vane is here. Patrick, too. Stranger's got another rant for you. It's story time with Engineer Jim. He's going to talk about rock and roll and sin. Because Stranger's here. He's on the phone. He's we want you to enjoy the show, baby. Hit it.
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast.
Tits.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the Jay and Dan podcast, episode 46, brought to you by our good friends at DraftKings. Hey, we're playing DraftKings now. You should, too. We're going to win millions of dollars and never have to work again.
DraftKings.com. Don't forget to enter the promo code JDP. Patrick, I understand we have emailed you our rosters, and we're finally playing DraftKings.com. So maybe read out Dan's roster first for opening night of DraftKings play. That will be on Wednesday night.
All right. At center, you got Nugent Hopkins and Hollenberger.
Yeah. The Nuge.
Love that guy.
Jordan Eberle.
Oh, Eberle, friend of the podcast.
Loading up on oil drops.
That still was my favorite commercial I've ever seen.
The Coke commercial. Yeah. Didn't he tweet at you the other day?
Someone sent me a tweet saying, hey, I didn't know that about, I sent out the name of the Pelicans Arena, which is Smoothie King Center. And he said, hey, I didn't know that. I also found out today I didn't know that Jordan Eberle's middle name was Leslie. And then I said, hey, I wonder if Jordan knows that. And he tweeted, he says, yes, I've known for quite a while. Thank you.
Ebs. So flying through the rest of the lineup. Rick Nash, Martin St. Louis, Dan Boyle, Michael Delzato, Ryan Miller, and Sean Couturier.
Ooh, Lisa Ann will be following your
This
roster.
Is all for Wednesday night's matchup.
Perfect.
That's a stellar
lineup. A lot of young studs on that
team. So I'm going to win $1 million.
Lisa Ann is every one of your roster.
Hey, that's good. Oh, no, you want them pent up.
I don't
up.
Know if you want them spent.
You want them pent up.
Yeah, pent up. Okay, Mike Botticello is going to read my roster.
Yeah, at center, Vincent LeCavalier.
Mm-hmm. I am impressed you could say that name.
Henrik Sedin.
Okay.
Wayne Simmons.
I love Wayne Simmons.
Jacob Voracek.
Nice. He has had a great start to the season.
Neil Yakupov.
Yakupov, yeah.
Yakupov.
Pretty good, yep.
Mark Streit.
Oh, yeah. Streit, yeah. He's good.
Dan Boyle.
Didn't Toolsy have Dan Boyle?
Yeah, anybody can select
can
anybody.
Anyone.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought we were going head to head. I thought we were going head to head.
Against the world.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. Good thing I understand the rules of DraftKings.
Now we all know.
Yeah. We're getting there.
In goal, Henrik Lundqvist.
Who's my goalie? Did we say my goalie?
Yeah.
Who?
Oh, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, Ryan Miller.
You didn't say that.
No. I definitely.
It went quick.
Ooh. podcast listeners, make sure.
He did not say Ryan Miller.
Let us know who is right, Patrick or Dan.
We'll nice. Check the tape.
Ryan Miller now likes the ice in Vancouver.
He's hey, yes, sir.
By the way, Jim, great song.
Yeah.
And the first, I can guarantee, the first song in the history of the world to ever include the voices of Troy Aikman, Gary Payton, and the Grapefruit Technique.
So if guys want to play against you in the DraftKings matchup, it's obviously they use the promo code JDP, and it's the one-night 50-50 $1 challenge.
Gotcha.
So okay. It's the 50-50 challenge. It's only $1 to enter. Jay's username, their usernames are their Twitter handles.
Okay, so. Perfect.
Patrick, do you have a barbed wire tattoo on your arm?
No.
What is that? Is that like flock of seagulls kind of thing?
I was from a painting a buddy of mine did.
Oh, God, that's so unacceptable.
No, I think we discussed this before.
Yeah, I think we did.
Did he pass away?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Okay, great.
All right.
Wow, this got awkward.
Man. Well, there's Jay Onright and his wife checking out the action.
Yeah, they are not happy with themselves. Okay.
The juicy man himself.
That's my new nickname. I love that. Thanks, Patrick.
Where was that one? Wow. Come here, Daddy? Was that one of the
lines?
Yeah,
what was that from?
And during the song?
No, I got that from a little Foley session with some streetwalkers.
Oh, nice.
That's a little live action
okay.
Stuff.
Going to the vaults for that one.
Yep. Oh,
streetwalkers.
Yeah. Wow. You'd be surprised what's in the Fox vaults.
Oh, we might have to dig through them.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
Speaking of Fox, we got some awards today. Greatly deserved. Jay, maybe you can.
Juicy man is happy.
Oh, yeah.
The juicy man himself.
That's me. I'm the juicy man.
The juicy man.
We got silver records from Fox because the Super Bowl, last year's Super Bowl, received 112.2 million viewers, and we were a huge part of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big part of it. We, of course, were the post-game show on Fox Sports 1. You tuned into Fox Sports 1 right after the Super Bowl. You saw Dan and I for 22 seconds. Then it cut over to our panel in East Rutherford, New Jersey at MetLife Stadium. They were on for about 10 minutes. Then it cut over to our panel at Times Square in New York. They were on for about 10 minutes. Then it cut over to our third panel in the Fox Sports Live studio for another 10 minutes. Then they brought in Molly McGrath, who'd never been on the show for 8 months, to read tweets for 5 minutes.
And then they had a panel discussing what the panel just discussed.
All aboard!
So thank you very much, Fox, for
this. Yeah, that's very kind.
It's going to go in my den, which I don't have a den.
I'm going to throw that bad boy in my office. I can't wait.
Your office is too full. You got too much in there.
So much in there. I got these Snuggies now. The Snuggie people sent us Snuggies. It was fantastic. Because our hair and makeup people are freezing.
They are. We like that studio cold.
It's so cold. So one of our makeup artists said, I know the people who make Snuggies. I contacted them. They said, we'll send you 10. So they're sitting in my office. I got to get them on those.
Hey, yes, sir.
The studio's so cold that I always have to constantly wipe my nose. And they came to me on camera the other night while wiping my nose.
That was great stuff.
It wasn't like a gentle. I had both fingers up nostrils.
You were looking for bugs.
But Ran, one of our floor directors, just a great guy.
His name is Ran, by the way.
His name
Every
is Ran.
Every time I see him, I'm like, Ran.
And he said, because I kind of said to the controller, I'm like, what happened there, guys? He's like, what? You guys didn't plan that? He thought it was part of the show. So I said, hey, that's great then.
You're a true professional. Real pro, Dan. Great stuff.
How was Palm Springs?
Oh, you good times.
Jay went to Palm Springs.
Old people. Took the folks out to Pepper's Thai Cuisine last night. Delicious. I have been my pants from, I don't know, midnight last night till just before I came in here on the podcast.
The juicy man
isn't shitting out like normal It's like they're coming out like little squids, like almost like little shrimps they're coming out at this point. It's like, isn't it all gone by now?
So is the food off?
It was delicious, but I don't know, maybe it just doesn't agree with me. I had a problem. How was Homestead?
Yeah, I went to the final race of the NASCAR season. You could not have drawn up how that race finished any better for NASCAR. I went with the NASCAR TSN people and Richard Coughlin, who helps run NASCAR Canada. He picked Harvick to win it. It was fun. Although Miami, I will never return to that place in my life.
Yeah, you're not going. Too bad we didn't have the Will Smith going to Miami song.
Well, it all makes sense that Pitbull is synonymous with Miami.
Yeah, Doucheville.
I could not wipe the douche smell off me quick enough.
I couldn't wipe the smell off me after Pepper's Thai.
The hotel we stayed in was the epitome.
Sorry.
The name of the hotel. The name
Sorry.
Of the hotel.
Sorry.
Epic.
Yep. Epic.
Yeah.
I love that. Did you stay and watch the pool get cleaned all weekend?
I overlooked the pool, yes. I did not see anyone clean it. And there was a gold-plated Lamborghini in front of the hotel.
Yeah, South Beach is like a special elevated kind of douche goes to South Beach. Like it's almost like when you reach the pros of douchiness, you hang out in South Beach all the time.
Yeah, so, but again, I
cannot. Well, what didn't you like about it? Like, there's all these douchey places we've been to. I mean, L.A. can be douchey. Why didn't you like Miami?
But I avoid those areas of L.A. That's why I live in Redondo Beach. Undoucheville.
You can't avoid it in Miami.
Oh, were you that kid, Dan?
That's right. Mike actually makes a good point. You can't avoid it in Miami.
Well, you can if you go downtown, but then you fear for your life.
Yes,
this
we did.
Is terrifying.
We did go for beverages after the race, and we needed to depart from that that bar as quick as we could because everyone was on something.
We're not downtown, in South Beach.
You know? No, downtown.
Oh, downtown.
Yeah, everyone was like the bartenders and bartenderesses. They wanted to
waitresses?
They wanted to murder you if you ordered a drink.
What? Why?
I went to one bartender. I said, "Can I get a vodka 7?" He's like, "Yeah, I guess so." Okay. So a while later, I go back to a different bartender. I says, "Can I get a vodka 7?" She goes, "We don't have that here." I said, "Do you have 7 Up?" "No."
"No."
"Do you have do you have Sprite?" "No."
"No."
I said, "I just had this beverage 15 minutes ago."
"No."
She says, "Sorry, we've never made that drink here." I said, "Okay."
Nice. Wow. Maybe they think it's not classy enough for that joint. But vodka 7.
"No."
"It's a man's drink."
"Vodka 7, the drink of kings." All right. Well, I can definitely understand that.
So again, we're all going to a NASCAR race next year together.
All of us?
Hey, yes, sir.
That sounds pretty fun.
Let's do it.
Well, we are going to the NASCAR year-end awards in Las Vegas in a couple of weeks.
Can't wait for that.
You and I are presenting, I believe.
Yes, sir. We're presenting the award for worst driver of the year.
Is that the one we're going to? Danica Patrick, everyone. Get up here, you. I better stop right now. NASCAR is an important property.
Yes, it's going to be fun. But the only thing about that track is because it's shorter than Talladega. I like the super speedways. It's nonstop noise. Like, you cannot escape the noise because the track's so small, so they all get separated. So
did you see any celebs, any big names?
Michael Jordan was there.
Oh, Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
Who did the Gentlemen Start Your Engines? Was it some?
No, it
usually
was,
they have a big celeb.
It was Buffer from UFC.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Bruce Buffer.
He did that, and also I flew it on a red eye. I thought everyone avoided red eyes, but not the celebs.
Oh yeah, you had Ray Rice was on your red
Ray
eye.
Ray Rice
did he beat
was
the
on
shit
my
out of you?
Flight. No. Well, the guy next to me, he's like, "Dude, do you watch football?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Did you see Ray Rice? Is that him up there?" I'm like, "Pretty sure." David Faraday was walking through there.
Faraday.
And Adrian Beltre, I was going to try to get a picture with him and say, "Can I put my hand over your head? Because I know you would love that." But I figured he probably gets asked that a lot because Adrian Beltre hates when people touch his head.
Oh, a big dome, eh? It's
there is nothing better. I believe it's Elvis Andrews who always gets him, like knows him and always gets him. And, oh, God, there's nothing funnier than that because you'd think after all these years, Adrian Beltre would be like, "All right, the joke's on me. Fine, you can touch my head." But no, it's as if he just told everybody, like, every day he still gets more and more angry about people touching his head.
Does he have, like, a baby's head where the skull's not formed?
Oh, maybe it's soft, and he doesn't want his brain to get damaged. See, I didn't think about that. I didn't consider that.
That was
the juicy man did not consider that.
That was my biggest fear when my kids were small, was because that's all you hear about is, watch the top of their head because their skull's not formed.
Yeah, that's true. So when you're taking them out of the hospital, aren't you just like, do you put like a big Jofa helmet on there?
You should.
A big Peter Klima helmet on
it's
your kid.
It's not safe. I want to like poke the brain, but I didn't.
Did you?
No.
Why not? How cool would that be, just to poke around in your kid's brain?
Did
you think about doing that?
No.
No.
And drove by Marlins Park. We've all seen the interior. I've never seen the exterior. It looks like they put the Sky Dome on top of a ballpark. Because they have a roof on it.
Right.
It is hideous from the outside as well.
Yeah. I don't think, though, by all accounts, people who have actually gone to the park seem to think it's really nice.
Maybe.
Except for the sculpture, obviously, in outfield.
But maybe that's the greatest thing ever.
I kind of like it. I kind of dig it. I want you know, ballparks to have unique features like that. Or
and they
totally
just signed Stanton to, $325 million. He can buy all the douchiness in Miami he wants.
I feel like that's a less risky deal than the Jays signing Russell Martin for 5 years at age 32.
That was a lot of money.
It's a lot of scratch for a 32-year-old catcher whose body will break down.
The Jays have to overpay.
That's all right, though. You know what? I'd rather have him overpay than not do anything like they did at the trade deadline.
And I saw it on our show last night. He's going to be only the second Canadian-born catcher to ever catch a game for the Blue Jays.
That's great.
George Kitaris, who caught a game this year, who...
Isn't he from Scarborough, George Kitaris?
Yeah, good-looking man. Gabe Kapler, who used to work with us, says he knows him. Says,
speaking of good-looking men, I ran into Brady Quinn when I walked into the Fox studios today, and I just said... Hey, who's that good-looking guy? And he kind of just looked at me. I'm like, why did I just say that? Why would I just say that to someone? Why would I just approach someone? Who are you, good-looking, huh?
Brady Quinn dropped maybe the greatest line I've ever heard.
I thought you were
going
to say he dropped a
deuce. Yeah. I was talking to him the other night. So I said, what do you do during the day? Do you work out? He says, well, I go for rehab, and then I work out. I said, do you still throw the ball? Because... it's in his contract. If he gets a tryout with a team, he can go leave us immediately. I said, so you you still throw the ball around? He just looks at me and says, lasers.
Speaking of laser, Botticelli and I were talking about this. Diplo, is that who it was? Diplo, yeah. The DJ Diplo, just had a kid and named him Laser.
That's awesome.
He's in a band called Major Laser.
That's his label, I believe.
But he's in a band called Major Lazer.
Yeah,
too.
It's like a collaboration.
And big fan of American Gladiators?
Was one of the Gladiators.
His oldest kid's name's Blade.
Lazer!
And Nitro!
I love that name! Hey, Lazer!
Come on over here. I'm going to touch your head. Is it soft? Get over here, Lazer.
Nitro better be the second one. And Blaze.
I think he had a kid. Look this up, Patrick? He had another kid, and it's also a pretty wacky name. You can get away with that shit.
Should we point out our guest today? Wow.
Yeah, Leanne Tweeden. We've been trying to get Leanne on for a little bit of time here. We wanted to get Leanne for a while because she was on the Best Damn Sports Show on Fox Sports.
Which was done in the same studio we do our show.
Same studio we do our show in, and we always hear our crew all worked on that show and always has great stories about it. So we wanted to bring Leanne in to talk about that show and to talk about what she's up to now, how she's doing,
so
what's going on. What's the Diplo's name?
Lockett.
Oh, that's kind of normal.
What?
Is it?
Lockett.
Lockett and Lacey. Later and Lockett.
So going with the L, so the next name will be Larry?
Probably.
The next one will probably be Leanne after he hears this podcast.
Lockett, Laser, and Leanne.
Hey, yes, sir.
Aikman approves. Should we bring Leanne in?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Here we go. We're so thrilled to have her on the show. Everybody, please give a warm welcome to Leanne Tweeden.
Come on.
There it is.
There we go. This is exciting.
That door's going to open any minute.
Does she know where to go? Yay!
How are you?
How are you?
Great to see you. Sorry, I just hit you with my headphone.
So nice to meet you.
Hit you with my headphone.
How are you? I hit you with my headphone.
That's all right.
Gosh, we're the worst.
Well, let me put on a headphone and then I can hear you.
Okay.
There you go. God, we're terrible.
Headphone hitters.
Terrible.
Goodness,
hosts.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Okay, so, you know I freaked out when he first said, because he tweeted me to come on the show.
Yeah,
and
I'm
then
a
he's
creeper.
Like, hey, do you need hair and makeup? And I went,
swear all you want, Tweeden.
Sorry, I forget.
Swear away.
I go from regular radio to this.
Okay. That's right.
So I said, man, I got to get ready. Usually when you do podcasts. I couldn't quite come with no makeup on.
We're bumps.
I probably could, but
You could come with no makeup on.
I just didn't want to.
Why not?
How are you?
I'm great. I'm so thrilled to finally meet you. And we've kind of been going back and forth a little bit trying to get you on, but you're doing a bunch of stuff. Like, you've been doing radio with, I can't believe you have to do this, Bill Ryder.
Do you know he actually got up off his couch and met me outside when my car pulled up?
What? Really?
I know. And then Vicky Trilling came down, our wardrobe girl, and she goes, you woke up for Leanne, but she knows. She's like, oh, okay.
She gets it. Yeah. So Bill Ryder doing radio with them. Just, you want to kill yourself by the end of this thing? Or where's your head at right now, Leanne?
I love Bill.
Yeah, he's great.
But you know
what?
I get along with everybody. I have that personality. I think I get along with everybody. And, you know, he was driving the bus and we were just having a good time. And I love it.
Do you like radio?
I do.
Yeah.
I, you know, it's I think the medium, you have a lot longer time to say what
maybe
you want.
Maybe too long.
Maybe. But, you know, people can tune in and out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you're only on television for half an hour or you do segments and here and there, people can turn the channel and they miss you.
That's
so,
right.
You know, they got 3 hours to come back and listen to what they want to listen to. And you just kind of regurgitate anyway.
And with this podcast, hours. They can pause it and never return to it. So.
Yeah.
That's
true.
What happens probably a lot.
True.
You're back in your own stomach. You
yeah.
used to.
I know. I've seen so many people walking through the gates that are like, oh my gosh. Hello.
I was thinking about you, like, when you, because when
you
we
were?
Go back to TSN, well, I always think about you. I think about you quite a bit. When we go back to TSN, it's like we can't kind of walk through because we have to say hi to everybody. We can't kind of, like, is that what it's like when you come back to Fox? You
yes.
kind of, everybody knows
everybody.
You.
I mean, because, you know, I was here for so long. When we were doing the Best Damn Sports Show, that was. Before 9/11.
Yeah.
So, and even before then, I was doing another show that was not produced by Fox, but that aired on Fox Sports. So I've been around. It was just a lot of extreme sports.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
okay.
Blue Torch, and then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 was a sports show. And then in between all that, I did 7 years of Best Damn Sports Show. So.
7 years. Wow. Let's discuss that.
Crazy.
Your overall, just looking back right now, positive experience, or are you just
oh,
like,
no.
Thank God,
fantastic.
That's over.
It was probably the best years of my life.
Awesome.
I think it was. You know, with Greenberg and...
So this is George Greenberg,
one of our execs
here.
Yes.
He's still at Fox.
Yeah. He came up with this idea to do a show. I mean, obviously, the best damn sports show, period. Anticlimactic. But, you know, the whole thing was to have fun and to sort of do a show that was entertaining, that was kind of SportsCenter, kind of The Tonight Show, kind of a... SNL sort of all wrapped up in one. But in the very beginning, we had a really hard time. I wasn't here at the very, very beginning, but soon after the beginning. And they had a really hard time at first booking people to come on because some people are very, you know, some people didn't like Tom Arnold and didn't know why he was on a show. No, honest, right? And then some people were like, well, I don't know if I want to do a skit. What are you talking about? You know, people either want to talk their straight sports and they want to be taken seriously or however you want to put it like that. I mean, the world has changed so much. You know, people have podcasts now. People are doing
as much as I would like to think.
Well,
it has.
But I mean, for normal people, like regular sports guys, you couldn't even get people to even like agree to come on back then. And then all of a sudden, you know, Shaq is coming on wearing a blonde wig and a cheerleader uniform and doing
That's
a skit.
Hot.
And
That's
you know,
hot.
When Shaq was Shaq and they were winning all their championships, mm-hmm. and everybody's like, oh, all right. Well, I mean, if he'll do it, then everybody does.
Really?
It.
Was that like
you
the,
know,
the
pretty
tipping
much,
point for you,
you
guys?
Know? Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, I remember doing a skit with Rick Fox, and I was like Little Red Riding Hood with a really bad, I don't know if I was trying to do some Dutch accent or whatever, Holland. I don't know. It was terrible. But I mean, it was just funny things where you had to let the guys had to be funny and let their guard down. And a lot of them weren't used to that because they didn't want to be seen as silly.
Tom's been on this show. He is
I love
insane.
Tom. He's come on my podcast too. You guys need to come on my podcast.
Oh, I'd love,
love that.
Yeah. That would be great. Do we have to put makeup on?
No.
Oh, okay.
We don't tape ours. Although we should because it's me and another girl. We talk about it all the time. We just don't have time to
you know, you
video
can, you
and
can
do
hire
all
Mike
that.
Bonicello yeah. over there.
I'll work
do
on
it for you. Yeah, he'll do it.
Yeah, no problem.
Come over to our house. We'll make pizza for you and homemade ice cream.
That's all I need.
Jeez. Okay.
Sounds cool.
Sounds
all right.
Good. All right. This isn't
Done.
The Botticello podcast.
I love pizza and ice cream.
That's enough for Botticello.
So were there moments on that Best Damn Show where you finished a segment or did a show and you're like, I can't believe we did that?
You know, sometimes it was always like that.
That sounds fun,
In
then.
The beginning, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you guys do Fox Sports Live now, but it was a 3-hour live show 5 days a week.
That's
live.
Kind of what we do right
That's
now.
That's basically what we're doing
right.
now. That's why I'm so fascinated to get your perspective
right.
on this.
I mean, it was so hard because, A, you had to do things that were topical and relevant, right? But then there would be breaking news, and it was always that battle of do we talk about what's breaking right now, completely take down everything that they've worked all night to produce,
right?
And talk about it, but you kind of have to. And they sort of liked to know what was happening in all the segments. There was still, like, you know, you never know what was going to happen, but they still kind of like to know, you know, Sal's going to say this, and then Tom's going to say that.
Yeah, you're still producing a show.
Right, you still need to know sort of the parameters that you're going to fill in. And we would do that we would, to me, it was just the 3 hours live a week in the very beginning of the show's years was so, I mean, for me, it was easy. But when I see now, like, the production and how many people it took, and all of those people have moved up. They're either running Fox Sports now, they're running DirecTV. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody, all of these producers that started off as, like, junior producers, you know, are all now running shows like Fox Sports Live. And, it was very exciting to see that part of it. And then, you know, then they cut it down and then it was, you know, 1 hour and 1.5 hours and then it was back to 2 hours and it was back. I mean, it did so, there were so many different variations of the show.
Yeah, but we
by
find
the
like
end.
Every day, Leanne, that the show is different every day. Like some days we'll come in to Fox Sports Live and we're all of a sudden we're introducing a show from this part of the studio or from this part of the studio. And we take one segment out, now it's back in. Like, was it like, we just want to make sure that
like
the
that.
Schizophrenic nature of our producers has been consistent throughout the life of Fox
it's
Sports.
It's pretty schizophrenic. But that's live television. That's what I loved. You know, mm-hmm. I came from extreme sports and action sports where, you know, I'm pretty much wearing a bikini in Tahiti talking to Kelly Slater on the beach. That was sort of what I did in my early 20s. And it was great. I mean, it was different. And then I came here. And they're like, oh, you know, you can read a teleprompter. And I'd never had teleprompter before. I just went, oh, my God, really? This is like cheating.
Yeah.
You're going to pay me to read something off a script, which to me, when I had to do it the hard way and learn it where I had to memorize or just know, like I just had to have my talking point and then just kind of talk about whatever. I just had to remember what I was talking about. That part, to me, I was like, oh, wow, this is great. You know? I
guess, by the way,
so what you're saying is what we do is really a cinch, and you're 100% right.
Yeah.
I am legit. I don't know about you two guys.
I think you just came up with a new show for Fox, Bikini in Tahiti, Tuesdays on Fox.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I like that. I'm back.
Remember Temptation Island? That was Fox, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
That was like the greatest show ever.
I knew a girl that was on that show.
Okay, so was she in a legit relationship? Because that's what happened, because these people pretended they were in relationships, but
they were all lies.
Come on, let me tell you, all of reality television is all scripted television, first of all.
No.
And it's all lies.
I don't believe it.
Lies.
I don't believe it.
Lies.
So that family with 19 kids, none of those kids are their own. The Duggins. Well, are they the Duggars?
The Duggars?
The Duggars.
And now they follow when the kids get married. It's just too much.
It's never going to end.
Now the children are having children, and mom's still having children. Oh, Lord.
And I love
sorry. Women were not. I have one child. We are not born to have 19 children.
No.
That is not in our bodily makeup.
No.
I'm sorry.
You're happily married now, and your husband is in the armed forces?
He's
is that
an
right?
Air Force pilot.
Very
cool.
Wow.
Very cool. Still is, yeah.
That's pretty rad.
Did he pick you up with that line?
Yeah. Did he just show up at the bar and say, I'm
Let
an
me
Air
tell you a little background on me. My favorite movie of all time is Top Gun.
Oh, very Jay's nice. Favorite scene of any movies in that movie.
I mean, you got to love the topless volleyball scene.
Oiled
Val
up.
Kilmer, Tom Cruise oiled up in jeans. They're on a beach in jeans, and then Tom Cruise is 5'4", and he's like Karch Karai. He's just crushing him. So
do not hate.
So that's what happened.
You know, my dad served in the Air Force as well during Vietnam. That's how he met my mom in the Philippines when he was stationed there. And you know, I think I've always loved patriotic people, and I didn't realize when I met my husband that maybe that had influence on me, the movie and my father.
Have you made him reenact that volleyball scene?
Okay.
Or maybe the Take My Breath Away love scene.
Take my breath away.
Yeah, that's
it. Okay, so let me tell you this. I have a couple Tom Cruise stories.
The first time
I met Tom Cruise, who is a lovely man, by the way. Have you ever met him?
Never.
No.
Let me tell you, there is a reason why he is a superstar. He is one of those people that walks into a room and you are just captivated, men and women. He's got that it personality. You just can't. You're born with it. You either have it or you don't. And some people have levels of it that are astronomical. And he is one of those people.
Bill Clinton.
Even though he's a little, yes. And that's what Bill Ryder said. Bill goes, Bill Clinton is what you're reminding me of when I talk
Leanne,
about.
Like Bill Ryder as well. I'm sorry. No, continue.
Did he say that? No,
yeah.
We love you. So I'm on Capitol Hill. We're doing this veterans thing, and there's a concert and all of this. And he was there with Katie when he was still married to Katie. And, I was with a young boy that just became an ensign. So he just graduated from Annapolis, became an ensign in the Navy. And
sorry, what's an ensign?
It's like the first. It's like a first lieutenant. Okay. It's like you're right out of college and you're just pinned on, or you're not even pinned on yet. But you're, I think ensign is the very first, like, first lieutenant. And
if you'd watch Star Trek: The Next Generation, you'd remember Ensign Wesley Crusher, who everyone hated. Sorry.
There you go. Thank you. I appreciate that background information. So. We were there, and he wanted to meet Tom because, Navy boys all want to meet Tom, and I wanted to meet Tom. And so we ended up meeting him before he left, and I just have to tell you, Top Gun really was like my childhood. When I was 12 years old, I think I saw it 13 times in the movie theater. God, I'm giving away way too much of my childhood.
13 times in the theater.
Yeah. I mean, it was like I was obsessed with not even necessarily him, but like him and Kelly, the woman in the movie. I mean, it was just so like, oh, my God, they're the greatest couple ever. It's just weird. And then – but I told him, I'm like, oh, my fiance or my boyfriend at the time, I said, is a pilot in the Air Force. And I guarantee you that that had something to do with it, right? So then fast forward, my husband and I are married, and we're going to a Guns N' Roses concert of all things. Hey. My friend plays in Guns N' Roses now. We go backstage to the new Forum, and all of a sudden I turn the corner, and my friend DJ is talking to Tom Cruise with his son. And I'm like, oh, my God, here's Tom. I'm like, honey, my husband's tall. Like, how tall are you?
6'5".
Yeah, that's like my husband.
Strapping, muscular.
Just like my husband.
Right, right.
So I'm like, oh, my gosh, honey, wait till I tell the story. So, I see Tom, and he totally remembers the story. I mean, it's just a funny moment. And where I met him, it's hard to forget that moment where we were all on Capitol Hill doing this one charity thing. So I'm like, oh, this is my husband, Chris, Chris and Tom, very tall.
He looks more like
short.
Goose than Tom. He's like super tall.
Right. Yeah. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the reason why. All of a sudden, it was like I didn't exist.
Oh.
They were talking, and y'all have heard the rumors, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
There's rumors.
Yeah.
I don't know about that because my gaydar is pretty good. I think he might be, maybe he's bi. I don't know. But when he started talking to my husband, I was like, excuse me.
Wow.
And my husband was talking to him. My husband even said the same thing. He said at the end, it was so intense that he was looking through my husband's eyes. And Chris is like, I don't know if he wanted me. I couldn't tell. But they were, doing their, like, I was flying the plane and I was doing this. And I'm all... guys, I'm right here. I'm right in front of you. Yeah,
wow.
But it was very interesting. So it was just a very cool thing in my mind that Maverick got to meet my husband and my husband got to meet Maverick.
That's very cool.
So stupid.
Is your husband currently in active duty? Like, is
yes,
he?
Yeah. He is.
So he's not here in Los Angeles
now? No, he is. Okay, so it's a very interesting thing. So he was active duty for 10 and a half years. When we decided to get married, I said, hey, I live in L.A. and I'm not moving every 2 or 3 years, that, whether you move to Japan or Germany or Texas or wherever you're going. So he goes, okay, well, he was at the point where he could get out. He was before he had to re-sign up. And he said, I'll get out and I'll join the Guard, which you can stay at the same Guard unit, or
the
National Guard,
right,
unit your whole career.
Right.
So he ended up being in an East Coast Guard unit, Delaware, because he started flying for JetBlue at the time as a job as he got out. So he was flying for JetBlue and flying for the Guard. And then an opening opened up in California. So now he's here,
right,
here at the California Guard, comes home every night. But he got activated. So now he's in a position where he's back on active duty, but at that unit. So he won't have to,
I'll bet he's back on active duty.
Yeah, he is.
Does he ever scare the crap out of the JetBlue people? Just like crank it up to like.
Now he flies for United.
Now flies for United. Okay.
Well, now actually he's on hiatus from United because he's active duty again. But no. I always ask him that. I go, do you hate flying people? Because in the military you don't fly people. You fly soldiers, but not civilian people. And he's like, it's whatever.
It's got to be like boring compared to the speeds that he usually flies at.
Well, it's just different.
Yeah.
When the cargo is paying passengers and you kind of have to play that sort of corporate role, it's a little bit different. I did say when he was going through his training the first time, I go, okay, because you're the FO, the first officer. I said, are you the one that has to do the, hi, this is your first officer, Chris, Leanne Tweeden speaking. We're going to be flying at an altitude of 42,000 feet today. I'm like, are you the guy that's going to have to do that? And he's like, oh, Yes, they train us, and you know, and during our training to do all that or whatever. Oh. So I was just doing it on my own. So I was sort of coaching him.
I was going to say, you could coach him.
I was coaching him.
I mean, that'd be more coaching than I've ever gotten working for any broadcasting company.
Really?
Oh, yeah, for
Fox
sure.
Fox has never offered you any coaching? They're pretty good here about that. If you said that, they would send a coach to
but
you.
But I always feel like athletes who come into work for us are just expected to be good right away. Don't you think?
Athletes would be the first people that I would think would get coaching.
Yeah. And they want it. They're used to, obviously, right. Used to being coached. And I always say, Jamie McLennan, who used to work for us, a former NHL goalie, used to say, I wish they'd coach me a little bit. But that's not the way it works. It's like, so, it's almost like so many of them want to do it. They just pick the guys who are just naturals at it.
Right.
You know?
And, you, I mean, look at like Reiters. A Michael Strahan. he was an athlete?
Yeah, sorry. Can't you tell?
I'm sorry. Why are you picking up Bill?
Strahan's
a great example.
It's like John Wayne teaching you how to swim. I watched, I lead a very boring life. I watched a John Wayne movie on the way to Miami, and it was called Hondo, and he kind of came into this family's life, and he's fishing with this kid. He's like, the better fishing's across the river there. He's like, well, why don't you go over there? Kid's like, I don't know how to swim. He says, well, throws him into the river.
Yeah, that's how you teach.
And then the mom comes around. She goes, he can't swim.
Yeah.
He goes, so? She goes, neither can I. And then she runs. I'm like, John Wayne, you should not be a lifeguard.
Okay.
Sorry.
Are you done?
That was my whole point. That's the athletes are just being thrown into
right.
the river.
That's the
true.
That's
we're
the
giving
analogy.
The John Wayne
we're getting
tough
to.
Love.
But yeah. It is a lot. You know, I will say this: it's a lot harder than people think.
It is.
It's a lot harder than people think, and it is. Look, every athlete. I was watching actually Kelly and Michael this morning, and he was talking about how. I guess a documentary is coming out on HBO, and they were talking about how athletes go from performing at that elite level, always having to be prepared, always, you know, playing in the crowd adoration, always being a top-trained athlete, right, to retiring.
Yeah.
And then what? You know, I mean,
that's why they get into this.
With,
something to do.
Right.
Yeah,
or
get
people,
into coaching.
Or gambling or whatever it is. I mean, look at like a Michael Jordan, right?
Yep.
People are like, why is he spending millions of dollars playing golf or gambling? I mean, I've played golf with him many times at Derek Jeter's tournament, and he's always gambling, and every hole has to be something. And it's like, oh my God, can't you guys just relax? But at that level, that it's like just hitting a ball into a hole has to mean something, and there has to be something on the line. So they got to, you know, 10 grand, who can make the closest to the hole? I'm like, really? It's so ridiculous, but it's so true that they're still competing, and it's still like life is so boring.
Yeah.
You know, that they feel like they have to make it exciting and do all these things. And it's just, it's kind of crazy, but almost every athlete that I know that is retired wants to do something in television.
Yeah.
And you're right. A lot of them are not good. And some are good enough to get by and get better.
Yeah.
And some just because they were so great at their sport, whether they're good or bad, they're there anyways.
We'll never see Derek Jeter doing this, though. Never.
No.
That's not in Derek's
personality. He's going to
rather be an owner.
Yeah.
Right.
Ownership.
I mean, but Derek has never been one to want to be in television.
Yeah, he hates the media, I think.
Yeah, I've done 2 sit-down interviews with him over the years, and it wasn't pulling teeth because he's a friend of mine, and I've known him and his family since he was 18, so we've known each other almost our whole lives, our whole adult lives, and it's just that's not part of his personality. And, you know, he would do those interviews because that's what you're expected to do, you know, and he'd be polite and gracious about it, but he wasn't going to give you anything great. He wasn't going to give you, you know, snippets where you're like, breaking news. Derek Jeter just said this. He's always going to be that guy that just gives you the middle of the road.
We know Derek Jeter, so has he tried to?
With me?
Yeah. What?
Well, if you see pictures of me and Derek, we look like brother and sister.
Okay.
Oh.
No, he's a great guy.
I never thought of it that way. I never once saw you and thought,
you're my
look
sister.
Look a lot like Derek Jeter's
sister. So you never
got
a gift basket?
No. Oh, my God. Does
now,
he
what
give
about,
gift baskets?
He gives
Leanne,
gift baskets if
I
you spend a night with him.
Leanne, I have to ask you about this guy, about Leo DiCaprio.
Oh, no. Did Bill tell you that?
Someone told me a story he tried to
wow,
put
so,
the moves
so
on you.
Derek
and you
Jeter.
Shut that
Leo
down,
DiCaprio.
Leanne. You shut that
I get
hand. Down. Now, what happened? I want the real story here. You shut that down.
Oh, my God. Okay. Jeez. How many people do y'all get to watch this?
Quite a few. At least...
Damn it, 9.
50.
50? All right, that's pretty good.
They're all in
okay,
Saskatchewan.
So okay, nobody knows me in Canada. All right, no.
Oh, they do.
Okay,
don't
so
worry.
They
wait, let
back,
me just
so.
Ask this question. Have you guys been invited or gone to a party at the Playboy Mansion?
No.
Never. That's really sad to say, but we haven't. Jim here has, but we have not.
I have no comment.
So he's experienced the grotto. Okay.
Right.
So,
the
all right.
Dirty grotto.
This, yeah, it is very dirty. I don't
Has
even
it
go
ever
in
been
there.
Clean?
I don't even go in there. It's so hot and steamy and it's so disgusting. And the foam coming up from the water, it's
so
gross.
God, that's
I'm
worst.
Telling you, it is so disgusting.
It's like bad hotel hot tub.
Bow, tiki, bow, bow. Okay. So I was at a Playboy party years ago and probably like the late 90s, right? Right about 2000. And I lived with my boyfriend at the time, and you could not bring any guy to the party. I would try, and I was dating a motorcycle racer at the time who was not just a nobody. He was an athlete, but, you know,
Happily
I asked
all.
Permission, and they were like, no. I mean,
oh,
that's
so you
just the way,
it.
No, not him. And then I said, well, can I bring my girlfriend? And they go, you have to send a Polaroid picture.
Nice.
No sh-
Good for them.
She had to.
A Polaroid?
In her bra and panties.
Excellent. Whoa!
Because they have standards. I get it. Sure. Whatever. And my girlfriend was hot, so it was fine. Checking out the action. Exactly. So Rachel and I go to this party, and it was a Midsummer's Night Dream party, which is the party to go to, you guys. It is really. It's
Everyone
different
in Shakespeare
now.
Outfits.
Right, and it's different nowadays because Half is, I think, probably on his last legs,
yeah.
And now they. Rent out the mansion a lot for corporate events, so it's not quite the same.
Right.
Before, you really had to like get in, you had to know somebody, you had to be a playmate,
you had to have a Polaroid camera.
Right.
You had to have a Polaroid camera, shake it like a Polaroid picture, and you had that's the only way you could get in. So I was there, and I'd been on the cover when I used to do a fitness show on ESPN, and I was on the cover, not nude, probably one of the only girls ever to be on the cover of Playboy and not nude at the time there in the magazine. So I was invited to go to these parties. So I went, and I'm wearing these, like, woodland fairy princess wings, and I got glitter all over myself, right? All of a sudden, my girlfriend is like, oh, my God, there's Leonardo DiCaprio. In my book, I saw Titanic late. I mean, I didn't even see it in the movie theaters. He was on the cover, he was, like, the sexiest man alive at the time, like,
I
on
guess.
People magazine. And I thought to myself, A, he's not a man. He's a boy. He's not my type, but he looked very... I'm like, that is not a man.
He looked a little effeminate at the time.
Right. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, the picture of him on the car. Yeah. I'm like, that is not a man. That's not what I think of as a man. I think
right.
a strapping, muscular...
Yeah, real man.
Like an
on right. You know?
On
would have
right
kept swimming in that cold water.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right.
He would never have said, I don't know how to swim. You just figure it out, okay?
Get it together.
God. So...
Watch Hondo.
So, yeah, exactly. So, we're walking around the park. You know, you're there for hours. You see the same people in the same places, and you're kind of moving
spade
around.
Spade over and over.
Oh, always.
Right, yeah.
What's the other kid?
Pauly Shore over and over.
And who's the one that was the
Corey
childhood?
Feldman.
Yes, thank you.
Over
how,
and
okay,
over.
How do you know all this?
I might have been there, Leanne. I didn't want to steal your thunder. Continue.
Jay trolling around again and again.
Well, there's Jay Onright and his wife checking out the action.
And his wife, probably San's wife for that party.
Maybe.
So anyway, so we're walking around one time, but it was so ridiculous that young girls have with celebrities, right? I've never been that one. Because I think I've worked in this field and interviewed pretty much every celebrity and met presidents and I've met royalty, that it was never a big deal to me, right? Like,
and Tom Cruise shot you
whatever.
Down.
he shot me down in another way. You're right. I was kind of pissed about that, actually. Anyways, but my husband is cute. So we're walking around, and girls are just throwing themselves. I mean, it was so ridiculous just to watch it, but it was very entertaining. So one time, my girlfriend, who's freaking out because she loved him, she's like, oh, my God, he's so hot. I love him. He's like my favorite actor. I'm like, oh, God, okay. So we're standing there doing something, and he's with a posse of, like, 10 guys.
The pussy posse.
But they're, like, thugs.
Right.
No,
but isn't
no
that
shit.
The at the time, he was hanging around with
what called,
the pussy
yeah.
posse.
Is that what they call
I
them?
I think that's what they
see,
call
I didn't
themselves.
Even know that, but yeah. It would not surprise me.
The pussy
but they
posse
were all
was coming
like,
for you,
but they were all like, no, he came for me, not
oh,
his posse.
Okay.
Oh, his posse
okay.
didn't come near
so
me.
So he's hanging
but
around
you know
with
what?
The posse.
I don't put out those vibes either. Like,
right.
I could give a shit who you are. I don't even look at him. I don't even give him the time of day, right? Which probably is what attracted him possibly to me.
Probably.
Because every other girl is like, they're tripping and their vagina falls open. They're like, hi, Leonardo. I mean, so
here's my vagina.
I'm sorry to anybody listening. listening if that's offensive, but pretty much that's what was happening.
Right.
So we go, and I'm standing there, and I'm talking to my girlfriend, and he comes up, like, right in my face. And I'm like, hello? You know, I'm just thinking, whatever. And I just remember he started this conversation with me. I don't even remember what we talked about now, but it was something. He's very witty, and he's very smart, and he's very fast. But we all know he's a smart guy. He is a smart guy. So we're having this witty banter or whatever. But, you know, I was being a smart ass to him because I could really care less.
And he's thinking, I'm nailing this convo.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, please. And I had a cookie in my hand for whatever reason. I think I was at the dessert counter.
Polly
and I had a
Shore
cookie, and I started eating a cookie. And he, like, took the cookie, and he started eating it. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is not going there,
you
right?
Had me tell
that happens in Miami.
And I remember
night.
He had, like, his L.A. hat on it. The picture is, like, on Instagram or something somewhere. But I just remember thinking, oh, my gosh, okay. I liked him better after that because then I didn't think he was such a wuss because he was really smart. So it changed my thought about him. I was like,
That's fair.
He's kind of cool. I get it, but I don't get him. I don't want him, right?
Right.
So my girlfriend and I walk away, and she's like, oh, my God, what just happened? What just happened? I'm like, I don't know what just happened. He just came up and talked to me.
You said, Leo ate my
you
cookie.
You were standing right there, and I get pissed about that, okay? You don't eat my cookie. When it comes to food, do not mess with my food, okay?
Right.
So anyway, so we're walking around. The end of the night comes. You know, it's almost like that time where everybody's looking around. The lights are getting ready to come up. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, we're here way too long, right? So we're at the middle bar, and my girlfriend and I are getting ready to leave. We're literally getting ready to walk out. And I see him sort of walking, but then he sees me. So he must have been looking for me is all I'm going to say. He comes up to me and he goes, hey, what? We're going to go party. You want to come with me and my boys? And I was like, no, I'm not. No, we're going home. I said, I'm going home. I appreciate it. Nice meeting you. And he's standing there like he wouldn't go away. And I said, I really appreciate it. He's like, no, come on. We got a limo. And I just said, you know, I'm like, I live with my boyfriend and I have a boyfriend. And he goes,
well,
that's
okay. What, he was pouting?
He goes, I have a girlfriend.
Oh, Leo. What a rat think.
Leo!
Like, that was, like, it was okay. Like, well, you got a boyfriend. Well, I got a girlfriend. Like, he thought that I thought that was going to be okay.
I mean, he does have a point. I mean.
Leo.
Sorry,
Leo. But anyways, with me, that was not the right thing to say.
Course,
but I just went, oh, how disgusting. And at the time, and then I knew he was dating Bar Rafeli, the beautiful Israeli model from Sports Illustrated. They were on and off for years. But I'm just thinking, you were disgusting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just disgusting and whatever. But, I mean, he was really nice. And, obviously he's Leonardo DiCaprio. He's one of the most talented actors of our generation.
That's true.
But it was just a gross thing. And
I don't see him the same way now, frankly.
Yeah. I'm going to burn my copy of Titanic.
Are you going to take down the Leonardo DiCaprio posters from your bedroom wall?
Oh, yeah. My poster of The Beach. It's coming down.
Before we let you go, two things about that story.
It's over.
Yeah, this has been so much fun.
Two things about that story I need clarification on. Does Hugh provide you with cab chits to get home? And secondly...
Wow, what? Only you would ask.
Cab chits. That must be a Canadian thing, eh? Like, but I understand where you're going. Go ahead. Number two.
The cleanliness of the swimming areas is very off-putting to me.
Okay.
Was the pool also disgusting?
Just the foam coming up in the grotto. That alone is a bad
sign. Hugh...
Okay.
Have some standards. Hire a pool cleaner.
He doesn't even care. I mean, he doesn't even care. He's not even out there. Okay. So
that's extremely
disappointing. Let me answer number one. No, you park your ass at UCLA and you wait in line.
Oh, see?
And you get a shuttle like everybody else. Although, I did do a cover of Playboy a couple years ago where I was topless on the inside. Sorry,
Mom. Gotta find that one.
And I did get invited to movie night with my husband at the mansion. So we were able to drive up to the mansion, which I've never done.
Fun.
I thought that was kind of
cool. That's pretty cool. What did you watch?
Like
an old movie.
No.
Titanic.
He gets the new ones.
He gets new movies.
He gets like the movies as they're out, right?
So it feels like Titanic?
No. J. Edgar.
Oh.
Wait, wasn't he
Edgar? What the hell? What the hell? Leo!
That is so funny now that I think. You know, I probably did say something to my husband about that. But anyways, my husband just goes, we walk in, right? And my husband looks around and goes, Ooh, it's like old and dusty.
Oh,
yeah.
It was. I mean, it was like an old mansion. It's
I saw a story about the mansion a few years ago where they were saying like someone, they went to the guest bathroom, the towels were old and mismatched like an old bachelor. Well, I guess he is an old bachelor, so why wouldn't they be old?
Anyway, right? So no cab chits. We don't call them chits in the United States, by the way. So, and then secondly, I've never swam in the pool at the mansion.
I wouldn't either after what you told me.
And I've never been in the grotto because it's disgusting.
That needs a good high-pressure sprayer. But needs to be emptied and refilled.
Oh, like daily.
Yes.
But when there are parties going on and you walk, because everybody needs to go see the grotto. So you have to visually put your eyes on it to be like, I saw the grotto, right? So I went, and my wings wouldn't even fit in there the first time I went there anyways, because I've got these like 6 foot wingspan. No So I'm looking in and all you see are like old men and like women in the pool, and you're just going, oh, that's
Spade
disgusting.
Spade is in there with like four co-eds.
No, he's down like in the gym.
Know what you do? Know what you fill that hot tub with?
Old man Koozie.
The tears of rejected playmates.
There it is.
There you
go. Because then it's salt water. You don't have chlorine.
There you go.
Or cookies.
give Hef a call. Ask him for some catches.
This is the awkward part.
Okay, this is the awkward
part. We never know how to say goodbye to people, so we just start clapping.
Well, you clapped when I came in, so thank you.
Yeah, we're going to clap. Leanne Tweeden, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
By. It was a pleasure.
Know,
are you going to go say hi to Jim Pearl before you go?
I will go say hi to whoever.
Okay, sounds good.
Is that the right answer?
Yes, that's the right answer. That's
Leanne
right
Tweeden,
answer.
Everybody.
Leanne Tweeden, everybody. What a wonderful person. We apologize
for
Bill Ryder on behalf of everyone
great.
On Fox.
Thanks so much. Yeah. All right. That was
and then
great.
Now do you guys have to change into suits and go to
correct.
Work?
Victoria Trilling, your good friend, will she will she's the one who will get us all
don't
dressed
forget
up.
Your purse.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now you're a purse snatcher.
Yes.
Hey. Classic purse snatcher.
At least I'm not
tool.
A cookie stealer, okay?
Classic purse snatcher.
I would punch you. I would punch you. You can have my purse, but I will punch you for my cookie.
Hey.
Oh, God, that sounded bad. That's funny.
That'll be a sound drop.
In keeping with the theme.
Yeah. We will never stop using that audio drop.
Okay, I did what I could for you, okay?
You were great. Oh, again.
Thank you.
Another big hand. Thank you so much. All right. I'm sure we'll see you later because you're not leaving, right? You're going to be saying hi to some people.
See you soon.
Okay.
See you guys.
Sounds good. Thanks
Bye.
Again,
wow,
Leanne.
That's great.
Thank you. That was awesome. Oh, Peter Schreger. We were a little late calling him.
He knows. And Taggart. They're on standby.
Okay.
Perfect. Let's call him. Let's give him a call.
Leo, what a creep.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Hey, yes, sir.
I mean, come on.
Colvin, one of our producers on our show, he saw him at Coachella in like the VIP area.
Coachella.
Yeah,
out in the desert.
Sunday fun day.
Yeah, I was watching the NFL on Fox over the weekend, and Joe Buck was doing a promo for our Fox Sunday fun day lineup.
Troy, do you know what tonight is? I give up. It's Sunday fun day. Sunday fun day. Enjoy all new episodes of TV's best comedies.
Sunday fun day.
Starts tonight at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on Fox.
I love it.
Ah, American Dad, now edgier.
Sunday fun day.
Very underrated part of that is Aikman immediately says,
I give up. Troy, do you know what tonight is? I give up.
Doesn't care. Aikman doesn't care.
I give up. Hey, yes, sir.
He doesn't give a sh**. He's Aikman.
Sunday fun day.
That's why they're so good together.
How do we get Bikini and Tahiti greenlit?
Leanne could host. Just it would be ask. Great. What a nice person. What a just a great, really nice. Wonderful person. Still looks amazing.
Could I do stunning. Sound for it?
Yeah.
The juicy man himself.
Yeah, baby.
Yes. Cookies. Wow.
Should we call Shreg?
Yeah. He's
is Peter, he on the line?
Peter Schreger's
on. Shreg, are you on the line? Here we go. Let's call him. He'll answer. Yeah, Shreg's good. There it is.
Hi, Peter Schreger.
Hi, Pete. Are you there?
I love that sound effect. Yeah, I'm here, boy.
Shreg's, I feel bad. Last week, I asked you to volunteer to not be on the podcast. We didn't have time. To get you on.
Podcast was great, though. Jay, don't ever apologize. It was great. I listened back this week. I thought it was fantastic. I got mentioned. I'm all about airtime. The Squad Brothers gave me a nice little pop.
They love you, Pete. And I love the story, how you ended up writing on their show. That was really cool.
I think people don't realize that in this industry, if you're not an ex-player, and I think both of you guys can probably tell this, if you're not an ex-player and you don't have any real connections, you have to scrape and claw to even get in. So they're absolutely right. I would send them a Word document of 7 pages of jokes based on a raw copy of just, you know, a 1991 MLB playoff game, and here, make jokes. And I would send it in, and they would use 2 or 3. It didn't matter. I would get paid per joke, and they were nothing but gracious to me and really were responsible for me getting in. But I think both of you guys probably have stories of being in small markets and thinking, is this life? Like, is this how I've got to do it? But eventually you crack through and you get some lucky breaks and you make the most of opportunities.
I love it.
Peter Schrager, you were recently in Atlantic City. It's still open.
AC's doing well, boys. AC has seen some better days. I'll tell you, I walked by a sports bar in the Borgata, which is the one hotel I'd say is even on par with, you know, Vegas and the like. And they had Fox Sports 1 on, and
yes.
I'm telling you guys, I almost did a flip. I was like, all right. I go, why not? Why would you? What is this? And the guy looked at me and goes, UFC is our biggest thing here in Atlantic City. UFC, everyone loves UFC, and the UFC fight was on. So I was fired up, was looking for some Jay and Dan, and then I got bored and left.
It's a story of our lives, Pete.
Great. Story
of our lives.
That's great.
I love it. Dan, you'll appreciate this. I was just with Victor Cruz. We just spent the afternoon together, New York Giant. He's coming back from an injury. He's got a 2-year-old daughter. And I said, you know, what have you been doing? He's like, a lot of it's just been hanging out with my daughter. And I said, what do you do? Like, what do you do hanging out with a 2-year-old? That has no, I mean, to me, that sounds like torture. I go, what do you do? And he said, we just went to Barclays in Brooklyn, which is the Barclays Center, and we went to see Frozen on Ice.
Oh,
and
yes.
This was, and his daughter was just could not move, was so amazed. It's the entire movie on ice. And I used to go to ice capades until I was about 25, 26. I used to go to ice capades, and I didn't know this still existed. So, hey, guys, I don't know if you know Julie Stewart Binks does Anaheim Ducks games. Maybe you guys can get in on the pond and there's some version of it.
God.
Dan, you might want to take your family to Frozen on Ice.
Friend of the podcast, Steve Webb, his family just went. I said, how was it? Steve said, I didn't go. Hey, Pete, we discussed how I was just in Miami. I believe you love Miami just as much as me.
Oh, my God. So I don't like, you know, my all your fans, you know how high I was on Buffalo. I'm about the opposite on Miami. I feel like I can't afford Miami. You know, when you go there and everyone's beautiful, and that's really disarming to me. I, you know, it's tough. I like being in the middle of the looks spectrum when I walk into a restaurant. And in Miami, I'm bottom of the barrel, and I'm not Dave Grohl. I'm not Jim the Engineer. I can't walk in there and flex any muscles. So I just really struggle with Miami. It's so expensive. But the best part, and I think Jay will appreciate this, I emailed both of you guys, and I said, hey, Dan, at the very least, I know there's beautiful women and there's some great sights in Miami. Send me a photo of what you're doing because it's Saturday night, South Beach. Send me a photo. And for the listeners, you will love this. For whatever reason, Dan thought this was what we were looking for. He sends back a photograph of a lit-up building.
No comment, just a picture.
Nothing, just a building with lights on it. And I'm like, all right. So the next day, I said, hey, Dan, got any more cool building photos? And he sent another one of a building with lights on.
So Peter just kept sending emails saying, hey, Dan, how's Miami? Sends picture of lit up building. So, yeah.
Send some cool pics. And it's, I mean, I'm thinking I'm going to get, you know, 4 Cuban models sitting at the bar making faces, you know, something. Nope, no beach shots, no. Just, and it wasn't even a good photo. It was like out of focus. And it was,
well, he was taking it with like a 15-year-old BlackBerry. So
from a BlackBerry from like the 15th floor of like a hotel. And it was, and I guess Miami football was on, so it was green. Like the building was lit up green. I didn't understand what the relevance was, but Dan thought that's what I meant. Send me a cool photo of a building.
Oh, my God. Shrakes, you were in Indianapolis.
Great town. Great town. They've got all the chain restaurants right in the middle of the town.
That's what you want.
You've got your CPK. You've got your PF Chang's. It's all right in the middle of town. And there's a steakhouse there called St. Elmo's that during the combine is like becomes – it's a real meet and greet place. It's a place everyone goes and kind of hangs. You talk to agents, talk to players. I always struggle at St. Elmo's because I don't know what to order. It's a steakhouse. You know, I don't want to fill up or whatever. So I had no pressure to go meet anybody this trip. Table for one, California Pizza Kitchen. I was all excited. But the National High School Marching Battle of the Bands was going on. So there was 300 different pimple-faced kids who are all like, you know, I'm lead saxophone. All these different high schools from across the country are in Indianapolis, and they're all at my CPK, so I have to go to some more upscale place, and I tried my best. I was wearing sneakers. I think I did okay, but couldn't get that meal in at CPK, and that really upset me.
Yeah, that's not
Lucas,
good.
Lucas Oil Stadium, a good place to go see a game?
Yeah, what's that like, Shregs?
Great place. I do wonder, though, if they lose some home field advantage, because it's cold in Indy. I mean, that is a really cold place. But I will say this. They have the Final Four there this year. They had a Super Bowl there. The Giants beat the Patriots in that Super Bowl. It is a great, great sports town. And the reason for it, everything is so centrally located. So you show up, these fans, I mean, you think back to Hoosiers and Hinkle Fieldhouse and Indiana basketball, the Indy 500, the Colts, the Pacers. I mean, it is a good sports town, and everything is located in the central part of town. And as cold as it is, it's really easy to get to everywhere. So I'd say it's one of my favorite sports towns. And, you know, the fans, they walk around. If it's not a Luck jersey, it's a Manning jersey. I mean, they are just diehard. So I don't know what's going to happen as far as the Colts go, if they get in the playoffs and if they can be a home field team, but they're just not up to that snuff. They can't hang with the Patriots just yet.
And the home of David Letterman, too, which is kind of cool.
The home of David Letterman.
And Shregs, I got to give a plug to Pete's podcast. I listen to his podcast.
Always a great listen.
Jimmy Traina this week. I just loved it. Just great. Just talking about Howard Stern and talking about our boy Mike Francesa. And how much you love Mike Francesa.
Yeah, I love the fact that you and your wife were watching Francesa, and you got a kick out of Francesa.
My wife now is kind of obsessed with Mike Francesa.
Well, there's Jay Onwright and his wife checking out the action.
He's like, for our Canadian listeners, he's an old New Yorker. He's like what you imagine as an old classic New York sports fan, radio talk show host, the biggest talk show host in New York, right, Pete? And
biggest talk show host in New York, biggest talk show host in the country. I mean, this guy really invented the format with Chris Russo, his old partner. The old partner leaves, and he stays on board, and everyone's wondering, how's it going to be? The show has only gotten better, and people from, you know, other areas of the country don't understand it, or they think he's kind of over the hill. But that's kind of the beauty of Mike Francesa. He's never wrong. Listeners call up. He treats them with very little respect. I mean, he'll hang up on listeners left and right. And it's almost like a caricature of, like, exactly what you're saying. The guy at the corner of the bar who knows it all, doesn't want to be argued with, but you almost, you know, for whatever reason, it's fixating. You end up watching it. And fortunately, Fox Sports 1 has it, so now I can watch it on TV, which is great.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I thought of you as well. I saw the, I think it's a Time Warner Cable ad with Bill Cowher and your boy Victor Cruz in it. Have you seen that, Shregs? Victor has literally no lines. It's like... Yeah. Cowher talks through the whole 30 seconds, and Cruz just nods through the whole thing. And then at the very end, I think he has one line. Like,
And the whole thing with that is, and first of all, Cruz is wearing a jersey where it's like innocuous. It's like a black and white.
That's right. It's a classic move where they can't show the real jersey. And why is he wearing a jersey outside of football?
Exactly. And that's what I was going to lead to. The best part about those ads, and they run all day. I guess you had Time Warner wherever you were. I have Time Warner Cable, and they run all day on every network, every cable network. The best part is Bill Cowher is in all sorts of different circumstances. So he's like at an office building talking to the employees. He's at a school talking to the kids. And they always have him wearing a headset. Like, he's always got the headset on. As if he's always calling a play. You know, his everyday interactions. He walks into a restaurant, he's ordering a meal, he needs to have a coach's headset on, always.
Speaking of commercials, how about that Stephen A. Smith one where he's in someone's stomach?
He's in Richard Sherman's stomach.
But just, it looks like a big lump of
It's like a piece. It's a piece. Richard didn't chew the beef jerky. He just swallowed it whole, and then it lands in the stomach where Stephen A. Smith is sitting in a raincoat.
Oh, boy, Alberto. Yeah, no, I mean, the worst of the commercials, and I hope I'm not losing any sponsorships for you, Fox, or anything, and it's not really the company. It's just the situation, is the young man who gets surprised at his door by Warren Sapp in a pirate's costume.
Oh, yeah.
And his entire backyard has been destroyed and turned into a pirate ship motif.
Yeah.
I don't, unless you really love pirates, I don't think you want that. And I'm sure, and again, if I really love pirates.
Even the most diehard Bucks fan doesn't want to pirate ship in his backyard.
I mean, you might dress up as Captain Jack Sparrow. Even so, you don't want that as your backyard.
I thought you were gonna talk about the True Biotic commercial where Aaron Andrews, our colleague here at Fox, who we really love and appreciate, has a jersey on that says Aaron Andrews in the back. Full name. Like, you've hired this
little,
woman.
Like, you know, that was
there was another Andrews
that.
On the team.
Yeah. Roger Andrews was playing wide receiver.
Like, it's like the Sutter brothers. They had to put Ron and Rich's
exactly.
full name.
No, and like they hedged their bet on that one. Like, all right, we're going for Erin Andrews. We know she's a big name. We know most people recognize her. But just on the off chance that one viewer might not, let's cover our bases and just throw her full name on the back of her football jersey.
Here's another one, guys, before we let you go, Pete. Keep this commercial on your radar. It's a Honda commercial. They're bringing back like Skeletor's in one. They're bringing back all these action figures to, I don't know, drum up nostalgia. But one is Stretch Armstrong. He's in the back seat. His arm stretches out to the front. But while the arm is stretching from the back seat to the front, it looks like a coming through the car.
Oh.
I took a picture of
car.
Yeah. So make sure you keep an eye out for that one. And
Dan took a picture of it, and within 40 different photos of Miami skyscrapers, there's a Stretch Armstrong photo on that phone.
Let's see if we can get it here. There.
Oh, now he's looking for it, Pete.
There's there.
Yeah, he's right. It does look like a Pete.
Hey, I've got a quick one for you guys. A new mini rant, a quick one. I was with some sports writers this weekend, and I've got a new little pet peeve. Every male white sports writer you meet going to tell you how much I love Bruce Springsteen. That's one thing. You can always put that in the box.
Yep.
The other one now, they're all somehow bourbon and whiskey snobs. I don't know this. This is a world I'm not aware of, but they started talking about Pappy Van Winkle and all these different high-end bourbons that are very hard to find. I have no knowledge of any of this, and I realized this is an epidemic. I ended up Googling Pappy Van Winkle, and there are blogs dedicated to this bourbon that everyone loves from Kentucky. Everyone becomes a Southern gentleman and has their own little bourbon they choose to drink. And everyone is a whisper. I hate it. Look, if you want to be a wine connoisseur, go for it. If you want to be one of those cool craft brewery guys, go for it. But this is too much. To be a snob about bourbon and whiskey, that is just something that is way above my head.
Go to the BevMo, get your maker's mark, and shut the
You know what else is hard to find, Pete Schrager? A Vodka 7 downtown Miami. It's a drink that's never been heard of before until you order it.
I'm sure you can get your apple teenies down there, though.
You can get your pictures of building Schrag's incredible this week. Have a good time. Where are you going this week? Where are you off to?
I'm actually going to the Big Easy in New Orleans. We've got a big Monday night game between the Ravens and the Saints, two teams that need this victory. Saints used to be invincible at home, but have lost two straight. A lot of intrigue. Monday Night Football, I will be there on Fox Sports 1 beforehand and afterwards. And, Jay, real quick, a fan of the pod from Indianapolis was tweeting at me saying, I'm at the game. Come say hi. I've never had that before. It made my day.
That's great.
Certainly, I found a reason not to go meet this young man. I wasn't. If he's listening, I apologize, but I'm certainly not going to go find you.
Peter, make sure you send us a bag of beignets from New Orleans.
How about just a photograph of a building?
And some Pappy Van Winkle bourbon, too, please.
The best. Only the best.
See you, buddy.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks, guys.
Pete
Fox
Schrager.
Sports' own Peter Schrager.
Jim, can we get a quick story from you this week? I don't want to put you on the spot here. But I understand you watch. We didn't even talk about Paul Schaefer.
A story about him, Paul Schaefer, the newest inductee into the Hall of Fame?
I mean, Canadian Hall of Fame, Thunder Bay, Ontario zone.
Love Paul Schaefer.
Yeah.
Never met the guy, know nothing. Well, I mean, I know he's done.
No, wait,
you
everything.
Did just watch.
The guy's been there forever.
You did just watch the Austin Sonic Highways.
I did. I'm still a show behind. I didn't watch the LA one, but I did see the Austin one. I thought it was great. I love that they went to the old Austin City Limits stage and they did the stuff there. But I have a beef about that.
Here we go.
First of all, I think Butch Vig is one of the greatest producers of our time. Hands down, probably my top three favorites who are still making records today.
Cool.
Love the guy. Great guy. Unbelievable talent. Dave Grohl. Much love, much respect. I think the guy's phenomenal. His band is incredible in what he's done. Obviously, Nirvana, that goes without saying. But how do you go to Austin City Limits and record on that stage like you do it in a studio? The guy's like overdubbing the piano and they're like, everybody shut up, quiet. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
why didn't they do this live?
Live, recorded live. Yeah.
Even if they didn't do it with an audience, if they didn't want to play in front of an audience, why not play on that stage live? Every other performance that's ever been done there is live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they go and make a studio recording on that stage. I thought it was sacrilegious.
See, I didn't realize that's what he was doing. I watched that piano part over and over. Yeah. And I thought he was just like almost like tuning a guitar. I thought that was, but he was actually doing overdubs.
He was overdubbing, and you know, they showed a shot of Grohl on the stage with, you know, like a nice 47 tube or something like that, you know, overdubbing his vocal. And all those guys, they did that song. They recorded it like, you know, a studio recording.
Right, right.
You know, let's overdub this, let's overdub that.
That's so funny.
Are you kidding me? On that stage? Yeah. I was blown away by that.
God, now, I love this gym rant.
Tell me I'm wrong.
No,
but
I think you're 100% right. That's,
you know,
so true.
And, you know, if you listen to the recordings now, I know maybe in the long run they're trying to go for some sort of consistency on the sound of the record, which a lot of times they try to do, but the concept of this record is to kind of like ode to each city.
Exactly.
And the sound of the city.
Yeah.
I would think they'd be going for the sound of each studio, although they're recording like in Chicago, it didn't sound like a Steve Albini recording.
No,
you know what I mean?
I think that's a great point. It would have been more raw. It would have been more raw if it was,
you know,
Albini.
I'm sorry to get so fired up.
I love it. I agree.
Are
it.
You
wow.
kidding me?
Yeah, I agree,
you
100%.
Know? And he does such a wonderful job in interviewing the like the interviews with Gibbons and the stuff about Rocky and
Billy Gibbons.
Oh,
is like
my
the coolest
God. You know, it was
ever.
Incredible. You know, the stuff Jimmy Vaughn was
yeah.
talking about and the shots that they were cutting back and forth from the performances on Austin City Limits. I remember like it was yesterday watching that Stevie Ray Vaughan
yeah,
performance
awesome.
On there. It was unbelievable, you know? And here you have all this reverent stuff and him talking about this place like it's a museum. Get some people in there
yeah.
and play in front of them and do your song.
Yeah.
Holy.
And if they're
you know?
Trying for consistency, then just tap that live one on the end or something.
I guess. Yeah. Something. That makes yeah. sense. Dan.
See, and the problem you know? with the Chicago one is they went to Albini's studio, but Butch Vig produced it at Albini's studio.
Which,
so,
okay.
Which
you know,
is
Butch
great.
Is going to be the guy making
yeah.
the record
yeah.
and this is how we're going to do it. Okay, cool. Whatever. You know, like I said, I love what he does and the stuff yeah. he did before with them was great,
mm-hmm.
but oh my God, you know, to me that just completely missed the boat. And
I love it.
And I didn't see how they recorded in Nashville. I didn't get through that episode.
Well, they were at an old studio that Zach Brown has now bought.
Yeah.
Oh,
like
okay. So
legendary.
He's at Zach Brown's
yeah,
place.
Yeah.
Cool. I know
yeah.
the studio. Yeah. Yeah.
Like killer old studio.
Like,
yeah.
Was it an old church or something even?
I think
yeah,
it used
was,
to
yeah.
be a church.
Maybe.
Yes. Yeah.
yeah. And it's like a million
yeah,
people have recorded there.
Yeah. It's a beautiful place. You
and
know?
It was all wood, like you said, like the rainbow was.
Yeah.
He said,
exactly.
He said all studios are furnished
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And Zach Brown and sort of his engineer partner that's helped him put that place together, they've done a wonderful job, you know, between, you know, bringing in state-of-the-art stuff that needed to upgrade that studio because
yeah.
It had kind of fallen a little bit into disrepair.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
But still maintaining the history and the essence of what
well,
that
I
place is.
Well, I love when
is.
They were opening the logs and, like, they had them all stored
yeah.
in drawers. And
because they just abandoned
and,
the place.
Yeah, just like the guy said, like, they literally left it as if it was just like this and
yeah.
shut the doors, left, and then came back. It was just like as if they just been
you know,
recording.
They were at Austin City Limits, and they were talking about
same
that piano.
That yeah,
you know, and
that
they were talking. Oh, my God, it's amazing.
I'm actually surprised they didn't turn that into some sort of museum that you could go and just tour through it, have the piano
totally
set up.
I totally agree.
I mean, it's there. It's on the university campus,
yeah.
so presumably they...
It'd be cool if maybe, you know, some uber-rich guy, you
yeah.
know, kind
like
of...
Like Dave Grohl.
Yeah, like Dave Grohl bought it and, you know, kind of kept it preserved.
Yeah.
Because God knows what'll happen down the road to
I feel
a place
like Dave
that,
Grohl, but... like everything, like the Sound City doc, which is amazing if you haven't
yeah.
seen it, you have to watch it. And Dave Grohl bought that is
the
Neve, the
yeah.
Neve board.
I've recorded
like
on
now,
that a few times, by the way.
Really? On
oh,
that
yeah.
Sound City one? Okay,
yeah.
we have to get to that at some
yeah.
point in a podcast. But Dave Grohl can't save all of rock history. Like, he'd just be broke, right?
So, yeah,
but I'm
absolutely
sure everyone wants him to.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if it still is, but a few years ago, I want to say Abbey Road went up for sale.
Right.
You know, EMI was looking to sell it and stuff like that, and everybody was telling, you know, hey, Paul McCartney, you got the money. You should go and buy this, you know?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk, like, you know, really, you'd have to be somebody like that in order not to go broke buying a place and trying to operate.
Well, it's like Albini said, right? He's playing cards to pay his...
It's very expensive to run those places. But, you know, guys, I would think a guy like Paul McCartney, that would be like...
He's more money than God.
Yeah.
While we call up Taggart, Jim, I just want to tell you that I was extremely embarrassed of myself today thinking of you because I was trying...
You're masturbating?
Yes.
Is that why?
I was... Sweet. Those speakers that you told me to buy, I finally got the right cords for them.
Oh.
So I was trying to hook up speaker wire and strip the wire. It was a disaster. Oh. I'm down to about an inch of wire left.
Oh, no.
Like, it's just... I can't get the plastic off the damn wire. I don't have a wire stripper.
Yeah, the wire stripper. You know what? A jackknife works great.
Yeah. Or just like scissors. Really? I use scissors.
I tried, but then I keep splitting the wire. And then I bought the end pieces, those new end pieces.
Yeah, right.
I can't get the wire to stay in there. It's just embarrassing.
So
we'll come over and
if you
pop over.
Help you out.
How great would that be, Jim's just setting up your speakers? Like, this guy has recorded all these amazing bands. Yeah, I'll set up your two bookshelf speakers.
Realize my receiver was bought at the St. Vincent de Paul in Peterborough for $5. The turntable was $3. So,
well, once those speakers get set up, you will love them.
Okay.
We should call Taggart because we're
getting... Do you mind if I ask, what did you get for speakers? Are they...
So they're, it's a company called Energy.
Yeah.
A Canadian company called Energy.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they're they're high performance speakers that they put out a few years ago, and they're discontinued. But there's a bunch of dead old stock, still new.
You
old.
Can still find it.
You can find it on Amazon.
Cool. Yeah, I've heard of the speakers.
The last set available.
So, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I haven't really listened to them, but
they, we bought them. We bought them, Jim, and I know this is going to come as a complete shock to you because they were really cheap. But they sound beautiful.
There you go. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Expensive.
I think they're RC10s for all those audiophiles out there. Energy RC10.
Great to listen to the podcast on.
Yeah, nice to listen to the podcast.
Warm and rich.
Yeah, rich, warm sound. Absolutely.
If you get those wires stripped properly.
I mean, I have these insane speakers at my house. You can only imagine. I get great speakers,
What kind of speakers do you have?
So I have Kef.
Oh, you have Kefs.
I have the 1042s, which are really badass. And I have I have the large Westlakes, like the, I believe they're the BBSM 10s or 15s or whatever. It's like a 15 inch and a 10 inch woofer or something.
Sorry,
I was writing
all that down. So
but
I, can go
I have KRKs, which are, you can buy them. They're like, you know, they make a commercial speaker, but they also make a studio speaker. And they were originally built by this guy, Keith Clawitter, who was KRK. And he built a custom set for Bob Clearmountain. And when I was working with Bob, there's 7,000s that he put these custom crossovers in. And I love them. And I said, geez, you know, it'd be great to get a pair. And Mr. Clearmountain called Keith Clawitter and said, whatever this guy wants, get
him.
Wow. And, hooked me up.
That is pretty
good. Bob Clearmountain speakers.
He's Springsteen's right hand.
Yeah.
That is pretty rad, man.
Cool stuff. So sorry to go on, guys. No. Let me
that
get
was the audiophile portion of the show.
Yeah.
We're
the
going
audiophile portion.
We're going over this week. So this year in an extended version of the podcast this week.
Yeah.
Because we're
overtime.
Having so much fun. Yeah, overtime. DraftKings is our sponsor. Make sure you visit them. DraftKings.com. You can win $1 million. They just handed out money left and right. I think if you sign up, they just give you thousands of dollars.
Make sure to go to the promo code JDP. What do you have there?
Show Jay. This is J.D. Turhart just tweeted us this a little earlier today. It's the cover for Dan's book.
Big day out.
This is incredible.
This actually
would be a great kid's book cover because you have the original Pancake House there. You have a Canada Post post office. You have a pet store and a music store and a Fox Sports 1 billboard. Boy, J.D., well done, sir.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate any tweets you send us. And, yes, that... That's the logo for the original Pancake House. That's it.
Wow, JD worked hard on that one. We do love the tweets, and Shregs brought up the listener who tweeted at him and wanted to meet him for a picture. I love to hear that kind of thing.
I would love to see somebody get a picture of Schreger.
Well, so if any of you listening to the podcast happen to be going to that Saints game this Monday, send Pete a tweet.
Maybe yeah, hit him up.
Maybe offer to buy him a dinner at the Olive Garden in New Orleans.
And he's kidding when he says he doesn't want to meet up. He just feels like, they're just kidding or something.
No, he's not kidding. He doesn't want to make an effort.
Yeah.
But if you somehow come upon him, he's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And you know who else is one of the nicest people you ever meet? Jeremy Taggart.
Yeah, Jeremy Taggart sent out a picture today. You look like you were freezing.
Oh, it's cold, boy. 18 below.
Oh, my God. I saw the picture of Patrick Coletta took a picture of his house in Buffalo. He can't get out of his house. He can't play in the game tonight against San Jose.
Yeah, no, there's like foot after foot on Buffalo. They got it really bad, but it's just so cold that it went from fall to like, you know, like lost in the barrens. Full on Farley Report up here.
So, what do the Taggarts do on a cold night like this? Do you crank up the fireplace, get the hot chocolate, and crank that Dean Martin Christmas album or the Michael Bublé album?
No, we just fired as many pillows and quilts on the couch and just kind of put some movies and chips on the table.
Yeah, the O'Toole's were in full on Christmas mode. We had nothing but Christmas music, and I love it.
Really, already?
Yes.
Have you put the tree up yet, Tools?
Tree is up.
Tree's up.
Wow.
Yeah, I had the Sidney Crosby ornament ceremony, although my daughter Ruby knows how much you like. She goes, I'm putting that up. I'm like, can I please? She's like, no. I'm like, can I please put? She had to put it up.
Yeah.
It's going to be all dry and dry.
No, it's a fake tree, but it looks real.
Okay, you're all set.
We're full on fake.
You're all set.
There will be a fire, though, because I had to buy another strand. The middle strand of lights went out. I had to buy another strand, so there's going to be a fire in our house.
So how long, Jeremy, do you think it is until Toolsy has his tree up all year round?
I don't know. It sounds like he's just been waiting all year to get it going. I don't know. Might as well keep it going, I guess.
Well, I had to wait. My wife wanted it up November 1. I said, nope, we aren't putting it up until after Remembrance Day / Veterans Day, and I finally got my way. And she said, okay, we'll put it up the 12th.
We'll
put it up the
12th. Do you guys have any, like, the worst Christmas songs that you hate? I hate that Bryan Adams, Something About Christmas Time. That one really makes my
something
sick.
About
yeah, don't do
time.
It.
Don't do it.
I did hear a new one this year.
Awful.
A new version of Baby It's Cold Outside with Idina Menzel, the Frozen singer, and Michael Bublé singing, it's Baby It's Cold Outside. Again, that's a date rape song because she says, what's in this drink?
Yeah.
Like,
it's not right.
I really can't.
Yes, sir.
Cosby Jam.
Baby It's Cold Outside by Dr. Bill Cosby.
Oh,
you can wear my sweater.
You know, the cause is doing it right, though, because he's just like, I'm old. I'm not going to answer any questions, and I'll die in 10 years.
No, so. He's in big trouble, man. That guy
he is, He's
going to go behind bars to end his days, man.
God, can you imagine that? Dr. Cosby.
If you don't know what we're talking about, just Google Bill Cosby and all the recent news is going to come out.
I think everyone knows.
Jay, Toolsy loves this stuff, eh?
Yeah, you do not.
Loves this stuff.
We were in the midst of about to get into a serious discussion. Dan wants you to Google it. Let's move on.
Toolsy's just like giving you the eyes like, drop it, son of a.
If I bring up Gian Gameshi, Toolsy just runs out of the room. Just runs out of the room completely.
Oh, my God.
I stay away from all HR-related festivities. Taggart, your thoughts on Miami. We're getting everyone's thoughts. I was just there. I despised it.
You're in Miami?
I was in Miami. And I understand now how Pitbull is the face of that city.
Yeah, that's a cheesy town, man. I don't like it. There's nothing cool about that place.
Yeah.
It is true. You know, you hear about Miami and you think, this must be the coolest city. It's not that cool. It's really cheesy.
You think about about like guys or girls that are like, I got to get down to Miami again, or they go there a lot? Like, they're usually total cheese balls.
They're
If you're a
consistent visitor to South Beach, you're an
Yeah, well, it's just that, like, opportunist, like, you know, living by material, like, it's like life on Instagram, you know, like the that I bought today.
Yeah, like Patrick. Yeah.
like some Fendi bag with, you know, some stupid hat that they bought just because it's $1,500, you know?
Yeah.
Like the Ford daughters.
Fedoras.
The Ford daughters.
Fedoras.
The Ford daughters Instagram.
Yeah.
They'll be like, "Gone to me ammo."
Me ammo.
I have to follow the Ford daughters.
Fedoras and Ed Hardy shirts. Ed Hardy shirts must have just been everywhere there.
Well, like, so yeah, everybody's cheesy. You see guys, they have makeup on. It's like, just, you know, all shiny face.
How is Dave Navarro not the mayor of...
that guy's crazy cheese, man. What about him?
I don't know. He just always wears makeup. He's like a grown man. He's like not even on stage. He's just like, "I'm wearing makeup." I think I told the story in the podcast. A buddy of mine moved down to L.A. like 8 years ago. The first place he went to, he joined a gym, went to the gym, was getting changed, and he looked, and Dave Navarro was putting makeup on after working out at the gym washroom, and I'm like, restroom, and I'm like, why would he do that?
Yeah, there's something wrong with that. I don't know. I mean, he went through some traumatic stuff as a kid. I'm assuming that has something to do with that.
Yeah, that's definitely true. He's had a pretty good run, though.
Yeah, sure.
When you think about it, I mean, we're talking about it like he hasn't had a good
run. Have you guys seen any, like, good burnouts? Like that, like the old school, like the Danny Bonaducci or like...
Oh, no. Like that would be great to get Bonaducci or Leif Garrett on this podcast.
Child actors.
Yeah. Oh, no, we had a child actor on our show.
Oh, Skippy from Family Ties. That was a burnout.
No way.
That guy was sweating like Patrick Ewing in the 84 finals.
Yeah, it was just bizarre. That was like in the first couple of weeks of the show.
Yeah.
We drew up something and he just wandered onto set, did the line, and then he's... felt shame. He's like, "I don't think I did it very good." We're like, "No one's watching this. It's okay."
Yeah, and then he was plugging his website that wasn't finished yet. So, isn't he doing comedy?
Hey, man, yeah. Remember the fake Rocky guy on that show? The Sylvester Stallone boyfriend guy?
Nick. Nick. Yeah.
Hey, Alex, how's my little pal?
Nick, Mallory's boyfriend, Nick. I was wondering if they ended up together. He's probably pulling a Cosby.
He was the guy who had the feather earrings, right?
Yeah, he was like a badass from the wrong side of the tracks, and Steve Keaton didn't like him one bit.
Like he'd like worked on cars or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Taggart.
Nothing but trouble. Thanks, guys.
You're a great man. Stay warm, my friend.
Oh, yes. You too. Have fun down there in the sun.
Hey, one more thing very quickly. Taggart and Torrens podcast, what's going on?
We will be taping in a couple of days. We actually been getting some nice reviews from the Gian Gamashi one that just came out a few days ago, but we will have a new one up in a couple of days. It's been great.
You should have Toolsy on to talk Gian Gamashi.
Yeah, we should have a one-on-one, like, powerful
wall. That would be a four-second conversation.
Just, that would be so great because you just have the camera on Tulsi and he'd just be sweating. He's not even – he didn't even do anything. Tulsi didn't even do anything.
Tulsi can't even look at him. He's just kind of like, what? How did you do that?
Thanks, Taggart.
Taggart, serious question. Taggart?
What?
How's the shovel situation? Did the Taggarts get a new shovel for this season, or is the shovel from last year still there?
We got two. We're good.
Okay.
Good. Thanks, Taggart.
Thanks, guys. See you soon. Love you guys. Bye.
Love you, buddy.
We're good.
We got two. We're covered.
How long is the shovel supposed to last? Like, it should last a few seasons, right?
Hey, yes, sir.
How long is a shovel supposed to last? I don't know. I think at least 10 years. No?
No, I went through one a season for a while there. They don't make them like they used to.
Oh, were you that kid, Dan?
Was it plastic?
A season?
It was plastic.
There you go.
You got to buy better
Buckled.
Shovels.
Buckled. The snow was so heavy in our last year there.
Yeah, you get stainless steel.
Broken.
Where are we are you living? Nunavut?
They probably I'm just a pig farmer from Peterborough.
Commuting from Nunavut.
They probably have lighter snow in Nunavut.
But I have a question. Do you get the snow shovels that are like the curved one?
No, not like the big
wide
one.
Flat.
Just, boom. Break your back shovels.
Yeah,
break
but they are kind of curved usually. Like they're not like.
But not the one, you know, remember, I remember growing up back east, but haven't used a snow shovel in quite some time. But, you know, they have one that was almost like a C that you could push the snow.
Yeah,
it wasn't
that's
a break your back
are.
One.
A snow pusher.
I didn't like those. I like the break your back ones.
The first few minutes of shoveling snow, kind of fun.
It is kind of fun at first.
But then after that, you're what the f***?
Yeah, and then
the snowplow comes by,
and your
puts
back
the,
hurts.
Pushes on the end of the driveway, you're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ice. It's not snow without it. It's just ice.
Yeah.
And you look up, you got so far
I gave
go.
A snowplow driver the finger because my recycling was at the end of the driveway, and he hit all my recycling, so I had to clean all the recycling up.
I will say this. I think we definitely have captured the attention of Canada with this discussion of how we used to shovel snow and how we live in Los Angeles.
I give up.
Sorry.
awesome pod, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Now I got to just pick up oranges and limes and
lemons. Yeah, that's right. Picking them off our trees.
Fruit trees. Yeah.
It was so fun. We got to none of our clips.
We got to another. We'll get to it next week. We're not getting fired yet.
We did just get platinum records.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to spin that one on
my
turntable.
Whoa, yeah.
Sweet.
These are all right.
Hey, yes, sir.
What if there is a song on there? I think we're going to have to break them open and
I think it's Fox Sports president Eric Shanks' single, Baby It's Cold Outside.
Thank you. I'd like to thank my family, little Ruby O'Toole, who put up the... Sorry, it's my only acceptance speech I'll ever do. Thanks, Ruby.
So how about
Leanne? Ruby O'Toole ruined Christmas for me.
Way to go, Ruby. You ruined it for everybody. Is she still tooting up a storm?
She's always just launching bombs.
Yeah.
Leanne Tweeden was awesome.
Last time we saw Ruby, your other daughter said, move down the bench. We were sitting at a bench scene. She's like, move down. Ruby's just dropping bombs over here. Move a little further down here. Give her some room.
Nah, she doesn't care.
Hey, Leanne Tweeden, awesome. She was great. Super fun.
Peter Schrager,
she looks
as always. Jeremy Taggart, as always.
Yeah. Engineer Jim. Love
Thank
chatting
you.
With you about audio stuff.
Bikinis in Tahiti, yeah?
That's happening.
Yeah.
Watch
for
it on Fox.
We're going to meet Eric Shanks right now.
We're gonna go pitch that story to him. Vayner, great
Sam?
Job, my friend. Thank you for being on camera. Mike Botticello, terrific work. And, of course, Pat Muldowney, who you should follow on Instagram for very thought-provoking shots of sunsets.
Exactly. When you're shoveling snow, make sure you go Instagram and visit Patrick's account.
Check out Pat's account.
Can
you get
stay
that
warm.
Sunday fun day again?
Sunday fun day.
If you got hit by snow, hey, listen to this around the fireplace, which I guess you already listened to, so it's too late. Never mind.
We'll keep you warm, like Dr. Cosby.
Bye.
Bye.
I give up.
Sunday fun day.
Elvis has just left the building.
They're going home.
The juicy man himself.
Sideways, yeah.